This is The World Tonight. Good evening. I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News. Prime Minister Begin said no to President Carter this morning after the Israeli cabinet voted 14-2 against a Camp David summit. But tonight, after President Carter's personal intervention, a summit is on again, but only between Prime Minister Begin and the president. Lee Thornton has more on the story as it developed at Mr. Carter's news conference this afternoon.
Expressing regret at the Israelis' decision not to send Prime Minister Begin to another Camp David summit, President Carter revealed that he had telephoned both Prime Minister Begin and President Sadat to issue an invitation for what he called frank discussions. He said Prime Minister Begin has accepted and is to arrive on Thursday. Before cutting off discussion of the subject, the president spoke of the urgency of completing a peace treaty.
If we allow that hope to vanish, then the judgment of history and of our own children will of necessity and rightly condemn us for an absence of concerted effort.
President Carter defended his administration against charges that he is weak in foreign affairs. Asked who lost Iran, he said it was a waste of time to lay blame on the United States. On the subject of oil, Mr. Carter touched on several points. He labeled incorrect a report that the United States has proposed to station American troops in Saudi Arabia to safeguard the flow of oil. He said the fuel supply situation here remains serious but is not critical, and he said he has no plans to implement a gas rationing proposal. President Carter also spoke out on quite another subject, his brother Billy, who recently has been under attack for alleged anti-Semitic remarks.
I have no intention of alleging to him any condemnation that I don't think is warranted. And I would say that I disassociate myself and my brother Billy from any allegations of remarks that might be anti-Semitic in nature.
The president said his brother, who is suffering with bronchitis, is seriously ill. Lee Thornton, CBS News, The White House.
It's been an exhausting day in Israel, exhausting both emotionally and politically, as the prime minister and the cabinet rejected President Carter's first initiative and then accepted the second. Dan Raviv has the Israel story.
When the telephone rang at Menachem Begin's official residence this evening, the prime minister heard just what he'd been waiting for. Jimmy Carter was inviting him to the White House. Begin had practically requested an invitation at the end of a stormy five-hour cabinet meeting today. He announced he would not accept the invitation to meet with Egypt's Prime Minister Khalil at Camp David this weekend. But Begin added that he was prepared to fly to the United States to meet with Mr. Carter at the convenience of the president. The cabinet announcement charged that Egypt had made its position more extreme at last week's Camp David talks between Foreign Minister Moshe Dayan and Egypt's Khalil. And that was the reason officially given for rejecting the idea of a summit at this time. Hardly anything is known publicly about the issues still blocking a peace treaty. It's assumed they center on linking the treaty to Palestinian autonomy. But obviously, Israel has not yet gotten the terms it wants from the U.S. or Egypt. And Begin, it seems, is hoping he can get what he wants from President Carter in person. Dan Raviv for CBS News, Tel Aviv.
We still don't know very much about what's going on in China's invasion of Vietnam, but whatever it is, the United States told China today, we don't like it. Bernard Kalb reports from Peking.
The disagreement between the U.S. and China was expressed face-to-face today. Blumenthal, emerging from his meeting with Deng Xiaoping, told reporters that he'd conveyed President Carter's message to the Chinese vice premier, indicating U.S. opposition to the Chinese move against Vietnam, while Deng, for his part, justified that action. But it seems clear that both sides are determined not to allow their clashing positions on the Chinese military move to undercut their commitment to the U.S.-China relationship. In other words, their mutual hopes for an expanded Washington-Peking link, coupled with their mutual concern about increasing Soviet power, that these two factors take precedence over any disagreement about China's military stab into Vietnam. Blumenthal also told reporters that in his talks with Deng, he'd expressed the U.S. hope that there would be a speedy withdrawal by China from Vietnam and by Vietnam from Cambodia. Earlier, in a news session with the reporters, Deng said China's military action will not last a long time, but he gave no indication just when it would end. Bernard Kalb, CBS News, Peking.
More news after this.
Hi, Pat Summerall. True Value Hardware Stores know that a mechanic has different tool needs than a homeowner. He needs more tools because he has more ways to use them. But the homeowner and the mechanic both share the need for quality tools, like True Value Hardware Store's exclusive line of Master Mechanic hand tools. You can add versatility to your workshop with the Master Mechanic 17-piece socket set that includes 11 sockets, a socket extension, reversible ratchet, and more. Choose either the standard or metric set for just $19.97 each. True Value Hardware Stores also offer the Master Mechanic 6-piece router bit set for just $18.97. These precision machine bits are designed for heavy-duty routing, slotting, and grooving. Get these and other quality Master Mechanic hand tools exclusively at participating True Value Hardware Stores.
True Value Hardware, it's more than just a name. It's our way of doing business that means True Value.
The bright side of the oil news tonight is that Iran says it will resume oil exports on Monday, but nobody knows how much or at what price. The bright side also includes word from Saudi Arabia and Iraq that they won't join in the growing movement toward higher prices. The dark side of the oil news is that Kuwait has increased prices more than 9% and says it will increase them every month if market conditions warrant. Here at home, Mobil has joined the lengthening list of oil companies allocating supplies because of the shortage, and against this background, the White House announced its standby rationing plan. Nelson Benton has that story.
The Carter administration's fuel emergency plans include gasoline rationing for the worst-case oil supply interruption, less stringent measures for interruptions not so severe. The gasoline rationing plan is, quote, for use only in an extreme gasoline shortage, unquote. It would allot gasoline to registered vehicle owners. An owner would receive a check for ration rights each quarter, which would be cashed for coupons. The value of the coupons in gallons to be determined by severity of the shortage. Car owners with lower fuel needs could elect to sell their extra coupons on a so-called white market for whatever price they would bring. Three other contingency plans are in the package: weekend service station closings, thermostat settings for public buildings, and restrictions on outdoor advertising lighting. None of the measures may be invoked until approved by Congress, which has 60 days to accept or reject any or all of them. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Wall Street in a moment.
From CBS News, two new broadcast series Monday through Friday on most of these stations. On one of them, CBS News correspondent Charles Crawford has you in mind on health, science, and you. His weekday reports relate new findings in medicine, diet, and exercise, new discoveries in healing and treatment, new regulations by the Food and Drug Administration. Whatever's timely each day, you'll hear about it that day on Health, Science, and You. Our second new series, The Reasoner Report, with none other than CBS News correspondent Harry Reasoner, presenting his observations and comments on the human comedy and sometimes the human dilemma, all done up in that wry Reasoner style. So listen here for The Reasoner Report and Health, Science, and You with Charles Crawford, Monday through Friday on most of the CBS Radio Network stations.
Stocks dropped sharply on Wall Street today in reaction to the uncertain oil supply and the continuing crisis in Southeast Asia. The Dow Jones closed at 807, down 14.12. The average price per share down 50 cents on the New York Exchange. Volume over 31 million. The average price down 23 cents on the American. Wall Street on this World Tonight.
This is Walter Cronkite reporting with news and commentary on the CBS Radio Network. In an essay last week on the gobbledygook conflict, we noted that while Jimmy Carter's capture of the White House represented a victory for the advocates of plain English, he remains addicted to one of gobbledygook's principal forms, political cant. In fact, Mr. Carter's addiction seems to have worsened since he's been in the White House, an analysis supported by his latest statements on the coal strike. Some details after this message.
Amana 2 plus 2.5 energy-saving refrigerators are engineered to save energy above and beyond the present standards. In fact, Amana 2 plus 2.5 energy-saving refrigerators already exceed the rigorous 1979 California State Minimum Energy Efficiency Standards. How? Amana packs in more foam wall insulation than typical refrigerators, up to 2 inches around the refrigerator section, plus up to 2.5 inches around the zero-degree freezer where it's needed most. And Amana uses a seamless one-piece Insuliner and airtight magnet seal door gaskets to lock the cold in and the heat out, so the compressor doesn't have to run as often. That saves energy, and saving energy saves you money. And yet you needn't give up convenience features. Some FrioFrost models feature the Amana refrigerator within a refrigerator meat keeper with its own temperature control, adjustable cantilever shelves, and convertible store-more doors. Amana 2 plus 2.5 energy-saving refrigerators. The refrigerators you can buy today and afford to operate tomorrow.
The essence of plain English is the simple statement which proceeds as directly as possible to the truth. Candor is its motivation and clarity its form. Cant, on the other hand, proceeds from insincerity or from an indifference to meaning. Its words and phrases are used to muffle or shroud the truth, avoid it altogether, or merely for effect. Political cant is the language of leaders who, for whatever reasons, feel their actions and their words must travel in different directions. President Carter provided a classic example last Friday. With great reluctance, he had decided to intervene to break the impasse between the coal operators and the miners. He believes that government, as a rule, should stay out of labor disputes and let the collective bargaining process work. But that appeared no longer to be a responsible or even feasible option. The president was scheduled to announce his decision Friday night, and the White House made it clear it would be to invoke the Taft-Hartley law and seize the mines, a double-edged effort that would put maximum pressure on both sides. Facing that prospect, the negotiators reached a settlement, one that still has to be ratified by the miners themselves. That enabled Mr. Carter to make an early appearance on national radio and television to announce the good news. But he couldn't be satisfied with the good news. He had to gild it to make it appear consistent with his policy of federal abstinence instead of an exception to it. The president told the people, quote, "It was because we believed in the free process of collective bargaining that I've been so determined to give that process every chance to work. It has worked." Well, of course, that statement is just contrary to the facts. The collective bargaining process had not worked. It had stalled spectacularly. The nation faced the prospect of serious and spreading economic dislocation, and the White House finally had to step in. The negotiators reached a settlement under the gun, as it were, of imminent federal action. If the president's statement had been made in plain English, it might have gone something like this. "I believe in free collective bargaining, but this time it just was not working. The strike was endangering the nation's economy, and a lot of people who have nothing to do with the coal industry were beginning to suffer from the stalemate. So I had to step in and twist a few arms." The distinction between rhetoric and reality in this case is one they make a great to-do about in criminal law. It can mean the difference between charity and robbery. The president went on to compound this rhetorical fracture by noting that the miners now would have to democratically ratify the agreement, and adding that if they don't do so and do it promptly, quote, "I will have to take the drastic and unsatisfactory legal action which I would have announced tonight." For all his convincing espousals of candor, honesty, and plain English, Mr. Carter seems to have great difficulty saying, "I was wrong," or "I can't do what I thought I could do," or "Reality this time forces me to depart from principle." As a result, he adds to what has been a growing problem for his presidency, which is that his determination to appear faithful to principle has begun seriously to undermine his reputation for candor.
"I want that sinus medicine."
"Headache tablet?"
"No, it relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip. And it has added strength."
"You mean added strength sign-off."
"Exactly.
Added strength sign-off tablets give you pure pain reliever plus 50% more sinus drainer."
"For sinus pressure."
"Uh-huh. And twice as much sinus dryer."
"Ah, for post-nasal drip."
"Right. Plus that full dose of pure aspirin for sinus headache pain. Added strength sign-off helps sinus pain while you drain."
"I like that."
"You'll like this, too. Sign-off, once a day sinus spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief, works in seconds, yet lasts hours longer than the leading mist. Once a day, once a night does it."
S-I-N-E-O-F-F. Sign-off.
Added strength tablets and once a day sinus spray. The sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
Look for that bright red box.
This is Walter Cronkite reporting for CBS News.